Welcome to Three in the Key.
Anthony Bennett of the Brooklyn Nets. Don't watch us play this season.
Bringing you in-depth basketball analysis and interviews from the Great White North.
Ooh. Oh, wait, what'd I say? Bloopers.
With your hosts, Elias Elzain, Will Macklin, and Dave the Professor Tripp.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Three in the Key. Elias Elzain alongside Will Macklin.
What up, what up?
And Dave Tripp.
Yeah.
What's up, fellas?
How you doing, man?
We're back. Better than ever, I think.
So close to the season, too.
Can't you just, like, taste it and feel it?
Oh, my gosh. So many stories.
You know what's great? It's like having my Instagram loaded with basketball videos again. Just, like, scrolling through and being like, dunk, dunk, dunk.
I need to join the Instagram thing, eh?
Well, you know what? It's good just for, like, the vines. We just used
our Three in the Key Instagram.
Yeah, I know, but I still...
We're lacking at least one like per post, Elias.
I don't know really how to get using it. I don't really understand Instagram. I never really got into it. I don't know.
Well, our listeners
I'm old school.
Our listeners keep listening.
Keep Instagramming us.
We love it.
Yeah.
All 105 of you, by the way.
They're the best.
Yeah. Shouts out to you guys. You guys are the real MVPs.
Our homie in France.
Yeah. Shouts out to you.
A debut on Almighty Ballin podcast, which is great on the network as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're doing numbers there. So we're part of the big gang. It's pretty fun. I'm excited.
Another packed episode, of course, for all you guys out there. Preseason basketball is in full effect.
Have you been watching lots?
Here and there. The Raptors had a good game yesterday, but like Valanciunas was sat out, DeRozan.
Yeah. But how about Fred VanVleet, Wichita State?
I think he'll make the team.
I hope so.
I know it was against an Argentine squad that came up to Canada and played them in a preseason game, but he was like 12 for 19 from the field, man. 5 boards, 5 assists for 31 points. But I think because DeLon Wright is hurt, I think he can be a good backup option for Kyle Lowry early on in the season.
For sure.
I think so.
Well, he played in Wichita State, and you saw how far they went every year he was on the franchise. Everybody liked to say
franchise now.
Everybody that was on the at that school at the time, like, they went deep 4 years in a row.
Just bugging you.
That's a school that shouldn't even be in the tournament most years, and here we go, like, making a serious push the last few years with Ron Baker.
Also, Wichita State, who was up here in August in Canada playing CIS teams, Greg Marshall, their head coach, got ejected.
What?
And Montreal, I think it was against McGill or against Laval or a French team, maybe the University of Montreal. I'm not sure who it was. It was in Quebec and against them, but he didn't really like the refereeing up here. And he got ejected. He almost, like, attacked the referee. There's whole videos of it.
Really?
He went up and he wasn't having it. The players had to restrain him. But when he got ejected, the team made a comeback and won the game.
Beautiful. And that's a big turnover for them, losing their two stars. So,
yes. And speaking about CIS real quick, the House Lawton tournament is going on here in Ottawa at Carleton University. Kicked off last night. Carleton still doing big things. They won a huge 106-52 over Victoria. The Victoria Vikes are in town, Will.
UVic?
Yeah, that's your part of the country.
That's right, but the island. We don't like the Islanders. I'm a mainlander.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, it was good. Eddie Ekior, who had committed to Xavier but stayed here at Carleton, came off the bench and was really efficient, had a nice putback slam. I'm excited to see him play this upcoming season.
Another strong year from the Ravens.
Are you doing the play-by-play all year?
Yeah, I do the play-by-play there for the tournament I will be in for the season. Kicked off last night. I'm going there tonight as well. They play Laval today. Should be another blowout. No disrespect to Laval. Just Carleton is on another level. They got a few new recruits as well. Another guy, Emmanuel Owatua from Fresno State. He can't be over 5'11". He is filthy.
Yeah.
Crossover shooting. He had one at the end of the third quarter. A buzzer beater. Man, the defender had no chance.
Well, there's definitely a room for small guys in the league now. So in the NBA and in all levels of basketball, you look at Isaiah Thomas, the year he had last year. Fred VanVleet is a guy who's under 6 feet tall.
Yeah, these guys that can
obviously,
do,
you know,
something.
If you keep working and keep practicing, you'll get there, no
you
problem.
You guys are saying I got a chance.
Obviously.
Dave I got Tripp, a chance. Come on, man. Like you're the only one out of the three of us that will make it.
It's like the natural. You get that old guy.
Right.
Like the R.A. Dickey of basketball.
I think I'd be a good, like, assistant coach. I think that'd be
you'd make a hell of an assistant.
Thanks, buddy. That means a lot coming from you.
I'm gonna stick to the play-by-play.
Yeah, you do play-by-play. Yeah. At least we all have our thing we're good
at. Yeah, you know. And then we'll also all just be three in the key still.
Well, that's right.
But to tell our American listeners, if we have any, I'm sure we do.
Oh, we do.
About the hugeness of having to do Carlton games. Because, like, for those who don't know, the Carlton Ravens.
There's something else here in Canada. Yeah, in Canada, they've won.
Powerhouse.
They are the dynasty of college.
Women's University of Connecticut.
Yeah, exactly.
Of Canadian basketball. They just run mucks.
Yeah, and it's like impossible to beat them. I don't think anyone's ever had.
This year, honestly, last year they lost a few games. But this year, I honestly, after seeing them play last night, I don't know if they'll lose a game this year.
This is insane.
I love it.
They had a guy in Phil Scrub who played summer league basketball for the Raptors and for the Grizzlies.
And played for Team Canada?
Played for Team Canada, man. Of course. He was great. Maybe the best CIS player ever. And still, to this day, you know, three MVPs, the only guy to do it in the country. But I think this Carlton team might be the best I've seen. Like, they're athletic. The size is there. The speed up and down the court. The shooting has always been there. The rebounding, I mean, they're pretty good. Also, Ryan Edgem, the brother of Melvin Edgem, plays for the Ravens. He's in his fifth year here at Carlton. Also a nice, solid, big guy. Gets it done inside. Has a 15-foot jump shot as well. I'm excited. Like I said, Ekior is very efficient coming off the bench. But yeah, the most underrated dynasty, even Grantland a few years ago came up here to Canada, to Ottawa, and wrote a whole big piece on them. So I'm pretty sure you can find that online.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We'll post it to our Facebook page.
Yeah, beautiful. We can do that. We'll do that. But also, like, do you think this team could probably compete in the States?
I mean, U.S. NCAA teams come up here. Wisconsin has come up here and lost.
Yeah.
And that was with Frank Kaminsky.
Yeah.
And
Sam Decker.
Sam Decker. Yeah. And that was the same year that Wisconsin went to the Final Four.
Yep.
The first year out
Nigel
of the two.
Nigel Hayes, Bronson Koenig.
Like, yeah, those guys were there. Bo Ryan was here.
Yep.
And they beat them.
Big Ten team.
And it wasn't like they just, like, it was a good beat. It wasn't like a blowout, but it was like a good win for the Ravens. And they beat Wichita State, who came up this summer. They've beaten Memphis.
I don't know. I don't think they'd necessarily win the tournament.
Yeah, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
If they were in a division in the United States, or at least eligible for non-conference play, they would win some big games every year.
And I think because teams would go in being like, yeah, Canadian basketball, and then like it kind of be going not all puffy chest and maybe kind of be deflated on the court and drop one.
Well, every
and
year,
great shooters, man.
Every year, there's tested veterans on this team because they did it the year before. When you go, like we just talked about Wisconsin going to the Final Four, every year Carlton goes to the Final Four in Canada. You know what I mean?
Right.
Every year they're playing the biggest game, so that teaches you how to play in the big moments.
Canadian colleges too, where our courts are bigger and our basketballs are bigger too, right? So
yeah, they actually play with a medicine ball.
Also, Jim Boeheim, who has come up here with Syracuse, they beat Carlton. They beat Carlton in overtime with Tyler Ennis, had a big game there. When they came up and they went down to Syracuse and narrowly lost, they held the lead in that game. But Jim Boeheim spoke highly of the program and Dave Smart's team and said that they can even play in the Big East and win some games.
I think sure.
Jim Boeheim, who is an assistant coach on Team USA, senior national team, who's coached the Syracuse Orange to a national title.
One of the 5 or 6 elite coaches in America, too.
You know what I mean?
He brought a surprising Cuse team.
A lot of people don't know, but Carlton has won 12 of the last 14 titles here in Canada. And it's almost, if they lose, that's when it's a story. When they win, it's not a story.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of making news, hey, you know what's on right now? You know what happened this weekend? Big Blue Madness. Kentucky.
All right, we'll move
on. Introducing a new team. Outstanding.
What was the new news? I didn't see this.
You never heard of Big Blue Madness? This is this thing they do. Calipari throws this great big party. Drake comes.
What?
Performs
Drake
a couple
loves
jams.
Them. Really?
Yeah, all us great Canadians love the Kentucky
big
Wildcats.
Blue Madness.
And then all the old players come. Like Boogie was out there, John Wall. And they try to recruit some kids. Plus they introduce the new team.
It's such
Kentucky's
an unfair advantage
a big thing. Of
being
course.
A Kentucky fan.
Yeah.
It's not
good.
Fair at all.
It balances out my love for the Bucks, though, because, frankly,
but the Bucks are on the rise.
Yeah, well, they are when they're not hurt.
Hey, listen, only Middleton's hurt this year.
Only one of the three important pieces in the franchise.
True.
It's such a weird combo.
He's a great shooter.
He's a great shooter.
Milwaukee, Kentucky.
Speaking about shooters, J.R. Smith and the Cavs finally agreed to a deal, a long-term one.
It's a deal,
four years, 57 million big ones. 45 million is guaranteed through the first 3 years of that contract.
That's a lot of tattoos.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has
any
space.
No shirt.
I think that's the most.
Well, actually,
he
might be able to buy a shirt now.
Yeah, we'll see.
You can buy several shirts. Yes,
maybe more than one. Even what do you think about this contract? The thing is that it's 4 years for a 31-year-old, $57 million. The guy took 40% of their. I mean, with 40% on the 3-point line there this year for the Cavs. So he's a big part of this team.
He
played over 2,300 minutes. Like the guy's a big part of it. But the thing is like. No one else offered him anything.
Nothing, yeah.
Like, isn't that a question mark? It's a little bit of a red flag if no one offered you a contract, but the Cavaliers offer you this big GM Cavs. LeBron James offers you 4 years, $57 million, because we kind of like each other?
No, I think they really like each other.
No, like?
Like the players. But apparently, Brian Colangelo and the Sixers made a hard push for him, which kind of forced the Cavs into signing him to this deal.
JR made that up.
Yeah.
He's like, I got a phone call from Brian something, and they want me. So figured out.
He looked great in Brooklyn.
Probably be their best player.
Use him. Of course he would be. Right now, it's Jeremy Lin who
Lopez if he stays healthy.
Layups, yeah.
No, it's just like the only thing is that he's getting paid because he looks good beside LeBron. LeBron makes him a better player because it gets him open. That's why he's hitting these shots. So he's getting overpaid and overplayed for that matter because he plays with the best player in the world.
I agree and I disagree. I think that he is getting his shots because he plays with a guy like LeBron. He's just sitting there on the outside waiting for those passes.
Yeah.
And he gets open shots.
You're there all day. They'll leave me open.
They don't win a championship last year without J.R. Smith playing against the Cavs.
Not.
There's no way. He's their 3-point shooter.
And he got better on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
He played good defense. He was there rotating and everything. LeBron spoke highly of him on that end. He's become a two-way player almost. I still wouldn't put him up there.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he's there for a shooting.
Of course.
Come on. His 3-point shooting, 40% from beyond the arc is amazing. On his career, he's 37.5%, so which is pretty good in the NBA, obviously. But to get 14 million a season for a guy that's, like Will said, 30, 31 years old, they have Iman Shumpert, who's about, 9, 10 million
but
a year.
Can't shoot.
Kyrie, who could shoot, again, like 17. Kevin Love, who's getting 21 million.
Yeah.
LeBron, obviously, 30 million. Tristan Thompson's getting some money.
Hope you like paying those lottery bucks, eh? Or the
luxury tax bill.
Yeah.
Do they pay taxes in Ohio?
Well, they will be paying a hefty luxury tax bill again.
Sales tax, you're thinking.
No, I'm just saying, J.R. Smith and LeBron, they need each other, but I think that it's the Cavs' window of the championship. They're getting all older. They're all kind of declining. So that's why they had to pull the trigger on a good shooter like J.R. Smith. So I think that's what makes sense. It's just the window for the championship. Looking at what the Warriors did, they have to do this for
JR. I don't know about the money. I don't think that it's that big a deal. When you look at what everybody's doing, the contracts they're handing out, I'm sorry to bring this up again, Elias, but I mean, Mozgov, what are they paying that guy?
He had a huge
He's looking good, man. Preseason. I'm not going to lie.
I'd rather have J.R. Smith on my team.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, J.R. Smith
maybe not
is a different
for four
player.
Years. Is this the first time?
But
I think
the Lakers
first time
needed
he signed a
big.
A multi-year deal, though, right?
He's
been getting one.
Well, he's
two
been
years,
yeah. I mean,
years.
He had a big deal
With
the Knicks.
Yeah.
He didn't sign anything big with Denver ever.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, they were
he's the kind of guy that a lot of teams
don't
want to commit
to. Denver,
to.
He was with four. He was there for 4 or 5 years, and then he went to play in China right after when the lockout happened, and then he came back and he signed with New York. And he won a sixth man of the year with New York. That's when he was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Average 18 points. And he shot the ball really well. And then, boom, traded to Cleveland. Opted out of his last year, which would have paid him $10 million. Re-signed for 2 years at just under $6 million. Declined the second year, which would have been this year. And he's like, listen, I declined a big deal. I declined that player option first. Came back on half that price. We won a title. I contributed. And now I want my long-term deal with my pay. It's a respect thing.
Yeah.
It's not like...
he's earned it.
Exactly.
You think JR has?
Yeah, I think he has earned it.
They won
Cleveland.
A championship.
I
mean,
I guess so, but like, for one year?
I think they would have wanted him. I think they would have wanted him at 10 or 11 million and not the 14 or 15. But
yeah, that's what they were pushing for. They couldn't meet in the middle, but
exactly. So he's like, "Nope, nope, nope." And then they finally caved in, and let's hope for them that they win a title, that luxury tax bill won't be so bad if you win another one.
Well, absolutely.
Another championship.
Worth every penny.
Like $5 million to him, it's just like he needs that extra 5 or 4 million a year. Like I don't know. It's just it's just kind of lame to do that, but
we probably could have gotten 20 to go to Brooklyn, so they could use him. They threw money at every shooting guard on the market this year.
JR knows he'll be terrible anywhere else.
Yeah, that is kind of the issue.
He'll be terrible. That's why no one offered him a deal, and that's why it's a bit of a red flag to give him that deal. $57 million, 4 years.
LeBron was pining though too, right? He's I want to be able to focus on my team. I want to be able to go through training camp with a full roster this year. He's putting pressure on ownership to get this done.
Yeah.
So I mean, when your player GM is calling the shots from the floor, you gotta listen. Look at what happened with Tristan.
But
they signed
him, so they could have been like, no. I guess they wanted JR and JR wanted to come back. They just couldn't agree on the price that I guess the Cavs wanted, so they caved in.
Yeah, that's bottom line. That's what it is.
A couple of injuries to pass along. Ian Mahimi's out about 4 to 6 weeks.
That's a tough loss.
Surgery for the Wizards.
That's not good.
Anthony Davis is hurt, but they said he should be back in about 10 to 14 days.
Yeah, he should be fine.
Man, that's one player I really want to see stay healthy.
Me too.
Like, he hasn't played more than 68 games. That was his best season. Well, not best season. I mean, like, the most games he's played. And actually, statistically, it was his best year. But he hasn't played over that. 68. Last year, he played 61. And his first season, it was 64 games.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anthony Davis.
This is a guy that should
healthy,
be pushing.
Man.
It should be a guy.
I want to see you play.
I want to see him push to be the MVP of the league. He's got all the tools. Now he stretches the floor. He had a huge year in development last year. The guy just can't stay healthy, and it's a shame to see him, you know.
And his team
maybe
is not
missing
good
the
enough.
First game this year.
His team is not good enough to carry him while he's hurt.
Look at that team without AD now with the injuries. You got Holiday gone. Tyreek Evans is gone.
Him for he probably hopefully be ready for opening night.
Hope so.
Maybe second or third game of the year if they want to take it easy. But yeah, there's what? Lance Stevenson, Buddy Hield's going to be put into a big role right away.
Solomon Hill's there now. Terrence Jones.
Yeah, he's still got Omar Asik.
Well, they lost Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson.
No one a real go-to, and it's funny because Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon both went to Houston.
Yeah.
I know, together. They went actually holding hands when they signed the contract.
You see that a lot in college, like players signing together. You don't usually see it in the pros.
He's my best friend.
Yeah, maybe they did have they're both good shooters, right? And James Harden, that's why you want to space the floor with him. Remember, guys, you can get a hold of us anytime by email at the3nikki@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at 3nikki. Follow on Twitter at BasketPod, on Instagram at The3nikki, and you can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes. You can also check out our website at 3nikki.ca and also on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Today's program, we discuss J.R. Smith and the injuries and what we think about that. We'll be joined by Warren Shaw of Shaw Sports and Swisher Miss plus more. Stay with us.
We are extremely happy and proud to say that we have agreed to terms to come back to the Cleveland Cavaliers, a.k.a. the champs, a.k.a. my brothers. One more surprise. We're having another baby.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Welcome back inside the Key. 3 in the Key, Elias L. Zane, alongside Dave Tripp and Will Macklin.
What up, what up?
And now we are joined, friend of the show. I hope we can call him a friend of the show. We've had him on in the past.
I like
Warren
to think
Shaw.
So.
Yeah, Warren Shaw of Shaw Sports. How's it going, Warren?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. Of course, we're all friends here. We're all about hoop family, man. So
that's
a pleasure
right.
to be on.
Yeah,
perfect.
Help you help us, vice versa.
Exactly.
Scratch with backs
exactly.
and stuff.
Warren, just off the top, right up, we want to ask you, J.R. Smith, obviously the biggest news this weekend. He signed, I guess the Cavs caved in to the number he wanted. 4 years, $57 million for J.R. Smith, $45 million guaranteed through the first 3 years. Is it a good deal?
That's chunky, man. You know, that's real chunky. You know, like you said, the Cavs kind of caved into this deal. You know, with 4 years, you know, I think it's a player option at the end or team option at the end. So I guess, you know, that kind of protects everybody. Going market in today's NBA, the Cavs owner, obviously Gilbert, is willing to pay that price to kind of keep the team together. Hey, you know, he wasn't going to get it elsewhere. So the Cavs had to do it. LeBron wanted it to get done. So that's all you can really say about it. Is it a good deal? Probably not. But at the end of the day, you know, it's kind of the way the NBA is going, and the Cavs want to keep their roster all fully intact.
Do you think that the Cavs could still contend next year against the Warriors without JR?
I mean, I think so. And I think Kyrie really took a step up, you know, in terms of what he, in terms of understanding what it means to be an elite level player and to compete at the championship level in general. And JR definitely brings them, you know, that outside threat and 3-point shooting. But I feel like they're a team that they'll always, with having LeBron there, having Kyrie there, and now obviously having Kevin Love as well too, that they would always be able to find a shooter. They'd always be able to find somebody to come in there and maybe take a little bit less money than JR did. I think the reason they wanted him back so much is what you've heard so much in the media is LeBron saying that he's a great team guy. You know, not only the fact that he makes a lot of threes and, you know, can help them on both sides of the basketball, but what he does for them in the locker room too. And I don't think a lot of people understand that. You know, you see JR, you see a guy who's been in trouble a lot, and you don't think, okay, he's somebody that who's endearing to teammates, but LeBron loves him. And, you know, that, as the King says, you know, as the King goes. So that's how it is in Cleveland right now, man.
Well, even with the King backing him there, why didn't any NBA teams offer him a deal other than the Cavs?
That's a great question. You know, that really is a great question. And he must have priced himself out. You know, we're not privy to those back channels that agents and teams have and negotiating, you know, rankings there. And I just feel like he might have priced himself out. JR is definitely a guy who could help a lot of teams out there. And that kind of fly-by-night rumor that happened last weekend where Boston might have been interested because they still want 3-point shooting specifically, you know, that was really the only team that you heard that's okay. They were really kind of sniffing around J.R. Smith. But I think what it was, everybody knew that it was something that was going to get done one way or the other too, and that's why there may not have been a whole lot of interest elsewhere because they figured, you know what, he's ultimately going back to Cleveland. And if anything else, he would have been trying to use those other teams as leverage and not really as a real bargaining position for those teams.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask next. Last question on JR. If it would have got to the season, do you think he would have took less money to join another team and kind of like stick it to Cleveland, like on a 1 year, maybe like $8 or $10 million with a Boston or with a Philly who had a bit of money to spend and been like, yo, Cleveland, you don't want to give me a long-term deal? You know, I'm going to go sign for cheaper, but only on a 1 year with someone else.
Well, I think it would have had to be a team that really could have had a legitimate chance of winning or at least of beating Cleveland in the East. And so Boston, yeah, maybe that would have been a team. I don't think he would have gone to Toronto or something like that and some of those other teams that you can consider Eastern Conference elite. So he's obviously already ran through New York and things like that too. So I don't even know who else you consider in the East elite outside of Toronto, Boston, and Cleveland. I don't think he would have went to a team that just to play and just to say he's going to stick it to them. It had to be somewhere where he could have gone back and hurt Cleveland one way or the other. So it had to be one of the top teams in the East. And out West, you know, I don't know. Would the Clippers have given him a look? You know, could they afford him at that? I'm not privy to their salary rankings right now. So I just don't see it as a realistic possibility. He would have stayed in Cleveland no matter what.
Now, moving on here to a different team that has a lot of question marks, and you actually wrote about them a few weeks ago. What is it? What is the Heat's future right now in Miami? It was a weird offseason with Pat. Dwayne's gone. Chris Bosh is looking unhealthy and not being able to play. Give us your thoughts on the Heat. You're based in Miami too, right?
Yeah, so I get that question a lot. I live in the South Florida area for sure and get a lot of information regarding the Heat. Not a Heat fan, but definitely in privy to a lot of what's going on with this roster. And I think they're going to be one of the more intriguing teams of the entire year simply because they have so much similar talent on this roster. Nobody's really standing out, and Spoelstra's really been having some position battles in the preseason and training camp. Only Dragic, Winslow, and Whiteside seem to be assured their starting positions, and everybody else seems to be battling, Deion Waiters, Tyler Johnson, Derek Williams. You know, they have Luke Babbitt out there, Josh McRoberts, so many guys, again, that just have similar talent overall, but one might be a better shooter, one might be a better rebounder, defender, et cetera, et cetera. So I think he's going to do a matchup by committee thing when it comes to the Heat this year. And they could compete, you know, for a lower seed in the Eastern Conference. I don't think anyone was expecting them to be anywhere near home court or anything like that, too. But you're seeing the predictions for the Heat go anywhere between, you know, 25, 30 wins to as high as 40 wins. So simply because there's a lot of respect for Spoelstra down here in this area and what he's able to do. But this is definitely going to be his most challenging season.
And I really like Coach Spo as a coach. I think he's done a lot. Obviously, when he had the LeBrons and the Chris Bosh and Wade all together, you know, three, you know, Hall of Famers all, you know, wanting the ball or whatnot, how to fix it. They went to four finals and they won two titles. Speaking of LeBron, now we have Kevin Durant who went to Golden State. He won an MVP and Curry has won the last two. I think it's safe to say that the MVP award won't go to a player in Golden State. Do you think this is the year LeBron gets his fifth and only joins Bill Russell and Jordan as the two other players to win that one and one shy of Kareem? Do you think this year is his year to lose maybe the MVP, or do you think it's someone else that will probably have a big season and take it?
Yeah, I'm leaning in another direction. I feel like with the Cavaliers, they're going to be pretty boring throughout their run in the Eastern Conference this year, and LeBron will definitely be taking games off. We're not going to see, you know, NBA Finals LeBron the entire season. He just doesn't need to do that. They're going to be kind of coasting, and he'll still, you know, put up, you know, massive numbers and be a great basketball player. But his time to shine really is in the postseason. And I'm looking at guys like James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Paul George as probably my top three guys competing for an MVP award this year.
No love for Kawhi? Kawhi, you don't think he's going to be up there?
You know, well, I think that's a great addition to it, too, because when it comes down to winning, Kawhi's name is definitely going to be up there. He's not going to put up the same gaudy stats that the other three are. But because of the winning that the Spurs are going to do, then he'll definitely be in the conversation. But let's not get it twisted. Kawhi is definitely going to be a plus 20 point per game guy this year, 6-7 rebounds as well, you know, maybe two steals, et cetera. So nothing to sneeze at in that regard. But when you're looking at, you know, especially in the case of Harden and Westbrook, those guys are going to be almost averaging nearly a triple-double, you know, barring injury. And I feel like if they can get, especially, you know, OKC, if they can somehow get maybe in the top five seed in the West, I think he would definitely have the inside track on winning it. But LeBron's always going to be there in that conversation. So I think when you mention Kawhi, LeBron's there at number five. I think those are the top five guys you're looking at for MVP this year.
I like your list. And we tweeted at you with our dark horse, Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yes, I remember it. I mean, again, if something were to go haywire and go real crazy and Minnesota, you know, surprises teams as the sleeper team that many people picking them to be, yeah, Kat could definitely be in that conversation. I'm trying to figure out what type of leap is he going to take, because I think a lot of the conversation stems around looking at Anthony Davis from year one to year two. Now, Karl-Anthony Towns had a better year one than Anthony Davis did. You know what I mean? So
yeah. How
much better can he be in his second season, especially under Thibodeau, you know, and how he likes to put guys out there? I'm really anxious to see what Kat does out there in Minnesota.
You know what, though, Warren? We're talking Karl-Anthony Towns, and I'm a big Kentucky Wildcats fan. Yeah, I know. I get it all the time. But like, I loved Karl-Anthony Towns in Kentucky. He had Willie Cauley-Stein with him, Trey Lyles. They had a huge front court there. He never looked as good as he looked in his rookie season. Like, you look at Anthony Davis as a freshman in Kentucky winning a national championship, he looked like Anthony Davis in college.
Right.
The progression from freshman in college to a rookie in the NBA, becoming the cornerstone of that franchise, especially the team that had already picked Andrew Wiggins and had all these things. Like, I think the sky's the limit with Karl-Anthony Towns. But the guy I like in the Northwest, Dame Lillard, he's my pick for MVP this year.
Oh, and again, I think that's a great pick, too. You can definitely sneak him in there. I think we've had some conversation about that team specifically, and are they going to really be able to sneak up on teams again like they did last year? So the thing is, they had the element of surprise for them. Not to say that they're not good. They're obviously very, very good and extremely, extremely well coached. I think Terry Stotts was robbed of the Coach of the Year award last season.
But I don't know if you can ignore history. That's why I think Steve Kerr got it, right? 73 wins.
Well,
he kind of didn't get it the year before. They gave it to Budenholzer. But I know what you mean. With the team that they had, Portland, they surprised many, and they went to the postseason, and they went to the second round. So I do see, obviously, Terry Stotts a very, very good coach. And you're right. He did. You can say he got robbed. I don't think if – Kerr didn't win 73, it probably would have went to him.
A big part of coaching is developing players, and you look at the steps that McCollum took and Aminu and Plumlee. All these guys completely changed the outlooks on their careers, and I think that he deserves some credit for it.
One last question, Warren. We're talking with Warren Shaw of Shaw Sports. Before we go into our swish or miss, do you have a sleeper team this year, one team that, you know, maybe people are overlooking that you're thinking, oh, this team could be good, or they can maybe not necessarily make the playoffs, or they're not getting as much love? Like, I know I'm a Laker fan. I don't know if they're going to win many games. I have them maybe between 25 and 30, but I like the young talent. What is your say on that?
Well, regarding the Lakers specifically, they're definitely heading in the right direction. I don't think they have enough to make a significant move in the West this year. It's a little bit hectic specifically out there. And even within their own division, there are some teams that I think are a little bit ahead of them. But D'Angelo Russell is going to be a monster, going to be a beast this year. Could legitimately be a 2010 guy this year if things fall right for him. And, you know, I don't say that lightly. So,
I mentioned him in most improved conversation to Elias, yeah. And he lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, it's true. We had Oliver Maroney from Basketball Insiders on our podcast a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we've had him on. Great guy. Specific.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy. And he said the exact same thing. He said D'Angelo was definitely his pick as a person who could be the most improved this year. But regarding sleepers, I think I'm pretty boring when it comes to that. I'm right there with everybody else. I think with Minnesota as that team that's going to take a huge step up. Don't know if it means they make the playoffs or not, but definitely they should be a team that, you know, has 10 to 12 more wins than they did a season ago. I mean, it can be very, very competitive out in the Western Conference with Thibodeau. And if New Orleans can get and stay healthy, I expect them to make some noise out there as well, too. Again, not necessarily playoff noise, but definitely a team that you're not going to want to play with Anthony Davis not running around on the court.
Yeah, and it's going to be good. We'd love to see Andrew Wiggins make the postseason. He did take a break this summer from Team Canada, which cost us a spot at Rio. So we're expecting big things from Mr. Wiggins down this season. We'll tell you that up here, for all the people that follow basketball.
Maybe even a jumper. We'll see. Who knows?
All three of us.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, but we do like Wiggins. We cheer for all Canadians. And we'd love to see the T-Wolves do something just because that franchise has been lacking in the past couple of years. Obviously, since KG left, they haven't been the same. But now they have all
Kevin
those picks. And young guys, so hopefully they can do it. But now moving on, Warren, are you ready to play Swish or Miss?
Absolutely, man. Let's go.
Let's
right.
do it.
Don't,
Will.
Be too, don't be too intimidated by these questions. Right? The first question is going to be right to you because you're a Miami guy, but will Dwayne Wade, Swish or Miss, regret his decision going to Chicago?
Miss. I think Wade is comfortable in his own skin right now. And the fact that he has so much going on off the court, with his areas of social responsibility. I know a lot of people that worked within his charity organization as well, too. He was doing a lot in Chicago anyway. I think he went back there simply to kind of take care of those things. He may not even finish his career there, but he's not going to miss Miami at all. So I think he'll be just fine in Chicago this season.
All right, Greg, good answer. You've 1 point. Swish or miss, we're going to flip it on the other side now. Will Russell Westbrook regret staying in Oklahoma City, Swish or Miss?
Ooh, I'm going to say Swish.
Okay. Why?
Yeah. I don't know how the combination of he and Oladipo are going to play out. Cantor, same thing. You know, he's more of an offensive guy than defensive guy. They lost Ibaka. And, you know, he wants to be loyal and he wants to stay true and be the guy. In that regard, but I think when he looks down to it, he may have that KG kind of regret later on if OKC can't get back to, you know, a conference finals or and obviously an NBA finals and eventually win. And I don't know if that this roster is going to be able to do that. OKC hasn't been a team that has been traditionally huge in terms of getting free agents, and they're going to be middle of the pack in the West. So what picks are they going to get? It's going to be up to their GM to trade for people to get over there. So I think he's going to regret that decision at some point.
All right, 2 points. Very good. All right, one more question, and then we'll send you off. We'll go Swish or Miss. Is it right to say the high expectations for Rose and Noah in New York? Swish
Ooh,
or Miss?
Man. In terms of having high expectations for them, I think that's a miss. They are the team that could really be, you know, really great and surprise, or they could be really awful. and have a bunch of injuries. So I think it's best to temper expectations when it comes to this team. But if they were to get into the playoffs, and let me just say this, you know, for I ride out as well, if they were somehow to sneak in, they're not somebody I'd be excited to play if I'm with another Eastern Conference team. You know what I mean? Not saying that you're freeing them, but you never know with that ilk of veteran leadership on that team, especially Noah. I think he's going to push Melo to be better than he's ever been. Porzingis developing, and if Rose can be healthy, et cetera, et cetera. They could really be a problem. But again, they have to get in, and they have to play well in the regular season to even make that a reality.
And they have to play probably the Raptors.
Yeah. Cleveland's not worried. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Thank you so much, Warren Shaw of Shaw Sports, for joining us. Always a pleasure, and we love to have you on.
Thanks, guys. And definitely we're going to get you guys on our show as well, too. Enjoy the season, guys.
Beautiful. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks,
you
man.
Too.
This was Locker Room Talk.
We don't disrespect women in no shape or fashion. No longer. That never comes up. You know, I got, obviously, I got a mother-in-law, a wife, a mom, a daughter. And those conversations just don't go on our locker room.
Welcome back to Three in the Key.
Welcome back inside the key. Three in the Key. Elias Zane alongside Dave Tripp.
Yeah.
And Will Macklin.
What up, what up?
We're back.
We are.
For another edition of...
Now on Three in the Key, it's Swish or Miss.
All right, let's get into it. Swish or Miss. The first one, Swish or Miss, are the Orlando Magic watchable?
I like this question. I like this question. Will always comes up with good questions.
Yeah, this is a doozy.
Feel free to email us as well, guys, at the3niki@gmail.com if you have some Swish or Miss questions for us.
Something you want to hear from the experts.
We'd like to answer. Are they watchable? Of course they are.
Agreed.
There's talent on that team. Evan Fournier. Aaron Gordon is a dunking machine. We all know that because of the dunk contest, which I was there live to witness. Amazing.
Yeah, rub it in.
Serge Ibaka.
Serge Ibaka.
Bismack.
Biyombo will give you some defense.
Jeff Green?
I actually think they'd be a fun team to watch. Just don't expect them to win the championship.
I think they should be. I think yeah, that's one. I think they'll be really good on defense.
Really?
Frank Vogel? Yeah, with Ibaka and Biyombo. Nikola Vucevic is there. I think they have too many bigs, and I think they'll sort that out and see who they can deal. Obviously, Biyombo is there on a big deal, so it looks like he's there to stay. But Vucevic is there as well. He signed an extension not too long ago. Ibaka is on a contract year, and he said that he wants to stay in Orlando. Evan Fournier just signed a deal. So they got some pieces. Alfred Payton is young.
Yeah, I like
he's
Mario
good in
Hezonja
the backcourt.
Too. I think
Mario
he's
Hezonja.
Be a good
they just
they're not a playoff
shoot,
team. They're not a playoff team.
Agreed.
In the East.
In the East, they're not going to win a championship like Dave mentioned, but are they watchable? Yes. Will they have some entertaining games this year? Yes.
I'm going to switch too on that. I think that, in particular, Aaron Gordon, I think he's the real piece you want to build around. Shifting him to the wing may not be a great idea. I think they'll learn pretty quickly whether or not it's a good experiment. And if it isn't, if he can't play the three, they're going to have to move a big. Now, whether that's one of the guys they just brought in, they'd have to wait a little while, or they move Vucevic. He's the other option. That's the guy I wouldn't want to move out of my front court if I'm them. Like he's a point-producing machine, and he just keeps getting better every year. A guy that kind of came out of nowhere in the league and really pushed into a number one center. I couldn't figure out what they were doing in the offseason, but like Elias said, Fournier, Alfred Payton, Hezonja, plus they got a few pretty big and physical players in their front court. I think they'll be a fun team to watch. I won't be tuning away, and their jerseys look great on TV.
I see they do. I think the front court is probably one of their better strengths with
Definitely.
Now Biyombo and Ibaka together. I like that a lot. But I think, the shooting is my problem right now. I think Aaron Gordon, Payton, I just don't see
them. They only have really Jody Meeks, Evan Fournier. DJ Augustine is not a real shooter, but...
Yeah. For me, the biggest question, what helps a lot is having Frank Vogel.
For sure.
I think we touched on it last week a bit, but I think this guy is a great coach, and he's coached bad teams before with Indiana.
And done very well
with them. So, to me, not a watchable team in the sense of, I can't wait to see the Magic play tonight, but more of a House of Highlights package where I can see them on the Instagram, and there's an amazing pass by Payton to Gordon, and I want to see that over and over again. I want to see that combo. To me is fun.
I really like what you said about Vogel making decent players better. Like you look at what happened to a lot of his players when they left.
Right.
Indiana, like Roy Hibbert's career is spiraling. Lance Stephenson obviously went from a legitimate player in the league to a guy that's getting passed over for leftovers.
Right.
There are a lot of guys that were important players on his team that aren't fitting well outside of Frank Vogel's system. So if he can bring that to Orlando, he doesn't have Paul George, but he's got a lot to work with.
Yeah, that's true. So that's our first Swish or Miss question. Actually, before we go to another Swish or Miss, actually, I posted on the 3 in the Key. We got some traction for it, but the three most watchable teams, which is kind of backtracking to this this question, but we wanted to, your guys' three teams that you like to watch this year the most. If you had to choose forever, the three teams you had to watch this year, you get to pick.
All season? Who
all season, yeah. Nobody else.
Oh, I'll tell you what. If Ben Simmons were healthy at the beginning of the year, Philly would be in there. But I really like Detroit this year.
Really?
I think they're going to be a fun team to watch. I think that they got a lot to build with. And
it's going
to
suck that Reggie Jackson is missing for the first part, yeah. But I feel you, Dave.
I like what they've got going on. I love Andre Drummond watching that guy play. He's a beast in the paint. And I think Stanley Johnson's going to take a big step forward this year. Tobias Harris probably playing the 3 and 4. Like, they've got a
Contavious
lot.
Caldwell Pope is good.
He's turning into an elite defensive player in the league. So.
And he can shoot the ball. Yeah. And you know Stan Van Gundy likes to space the floor with a
sure.
big man and shooters around him. And that's what he had in Orlando when they went to the finals. They had Dwight Howard, who was a defensive beast, and they had Turkoglu around him. They had Rashard Lewis around him. So they had some shooters. They had Jameer Nelson, who became an all-star and wasn't, you know, that great of a point guard. Obviously, Reggie Jackson, I think, is a better point guard than Jameer Nelson. And so you have an advantage there. Tobias Harris can do more than just shoot. He can create.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know, so they
and
have
then,
some good teams.
Yeah,
but you
Marcus
say Pistons,
Morris as well.
Marcus
I,
Morris.
Celtics is another team I really like this year. I love the addition of Al Horford. I love their team to begin with last year. They were a lot of fun to watch. Overachieving. That's not the case this year. People know what they are. They got great coaching, a lot of fun. Kind of like the Spurs light with the passing all over the floor, great defense shifting. And then I'm going to go with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Just
that's good. You're like, those, honestly, those are like the three hipster basketball fans.
Well,
picks.
I don't know how you. Like, how come you didn't pick the Bucks?
Bucks, because it's regardless. Obviously, we know you're going to pick the Lakers.
I'm a little nervous about the Bucks this
year, because
to be honest.
Said it. You, really?
Yeah,
it'd be redundant for him to pick him. You know, we know he's going to watch him regardless.
I am going to watch him regardless. And I'm excited for Point Giannis, but like, as long as Greg Monroe's there, like, man, they're just not the team I want them to be. It hurts. It hurts that I had such a disappointing offseason with my team.
Yeah.
Well, Matthew Dellavedova was a huge pickup. Come
on
now.
He will be. He will. He laughed, but he will be a good player.
He's bringing
listen,
a championship picking, ring in that locker room, bro.
Yeah, you're picking on Mozgov. It's my turn.
Hey, I'll bring
you
it.
Both picked up.
Bring it. We can take it.
Washed up Cavs.
Yeah.
With championships, at least, okay? Who do the Vancouver Grizzlies have, Will?
At least
can't
the
wait.
Cavs wanted to keep Dellavedova. They were like, Mozgov, later, bud.
That's right.
No, because when Dellavedova signed, he was a restricted free agent, which means the Cavs can match.
What they were going to match?
LeBron
that ridiculous...
tweeted out once he heard he got a deal. He was like, "Yeah, it was good knowing you, buddy.
Good for
you.
Yeah,
yeah, you deserved it.
Enjoy your sweet shoe deal."
That's true.
For me, it would be the Lakers. But like Dave said, if Ben Simmons was healthy, the Sixers. But still, like to watch them because of Embiid, and he showed some flashes in the preseason.
Right.
The Thunder now that. Westbrook is without Durant, so even though we've seen him go crazy,
Oklahoma City Westbrooks is what you're gonna pick.
Yeah. So even though he's we've seen him have huge games and go off, now it's gonna be even better because we're expecting it every single night because there's no one to share the ball with.
Right.
Yep.
And the Celtics are a good one. The Wolves are a good one. I'm trying to remember who was the Warriors, obviously.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's my pick. So, like, I love the Celtics and I love the Timberwolves, but the Warriors are just, like, too obvious. Like, if I had to choose one team to watch every night just for the novelty of it,
you know,
I have to pick the Warriors.
You know, though, I don't like watching blowouts, and I think there will be some of those this year. I like a competitive game. That's...
Yeah, but opening night, they play the Spurs.
And watching threes isn't fun for me. Like, I like seeing guys.
Really?
No, man. I like seeing guys drive to the net.
You would
defenders
hate, don't ever go to the Oracle because you'll hate it.
Well, no, it's still fun. Like I still
People
love
Curry
basketball.
Hits another three. There you are, just with your arms crossed.
But I'd way rather watch a guy like Russell Westbrook run the show than a guy like Steph Curry, who just stands at the red line and shoots the three and it goes in.
Really?
No, he gets to the hole, man.
Curry, he's a mind-blowing ball handler.
Yeah, exactly. Better ball handler than Westbrook. Let's be real.
And better than Harden.
But their games, like their game, is going to be a perimeter game this year in Golden State. Like they don't even have Bogut this year. I mean, their front court is going to not be.
No,
as
but Iguodala and all these guys have been speaking highly of JaVale McGee.
Oh. Yep.
I'm not saying like, oh my God, he's going to make a big difference.
That's
but
a player.
Pachulia, David West. I know they don't have that big man, but Bogut, no one's going to be like going to bring what Bogut brought, which was great screens,
leadership,
and the passing and the defense inside. Obviously, they're going to miss that.
Yeah. They're still going to be incredible, though.
Yeah, if they had Bogut, though, with the team that they have with Durant, then I think it's like just hand them the ring, maybe.
Yeah, I think you might just have to not do the season. We're going to skip. We'll do another switch and miss in a second here, but we're going to go with a would you rather blow up? Who would you rather blow up if they both have a disappointing season this year? The Memphis Grizzlies or the LA Clippers? Who would you rather blow up?
Listen, I don't think you can blow up the Grizzlies because they just signed Parsons, so you can't really say that, like, within a year, you can't really, you know, give them a grade or whatever. I mean, you can see what they did and kind of go from there, but I think it takes more than one season bringing in a guy like Parsons. You're going to have chemistry issues and all that, and especially that he was hurt so much in Dallas and in Houston, so I don't know if they're going to play him so many minutes and see how it goes, but... The Clippers is number one. Number one in the NBA. If this, it's championship or bust for the
sure.
Clippers. And it's going to be hard because you have the Spurs and you have the Warriors ahead of them in the West. But if the Clippers, like I said, it's going to be hard. So if they don't if they don't get out of the West and at least get to the finals, you got to make a decision.
Yep.
Do I re-sign Chris Paul or do I re-sign Blake Griffin? Because DeAndre Jordan is signed long-term.
It's worse than that too, though, because like eventually these players will decide, all right, this isn't working for me here. You know what I mean? They're going to decide, I'm going to go somewhere else. Like, what's stopping from Chris Paul from saying, like, hey, maybe I'll go sign with a really good team?
Half of it's like him being very stubborn and wanting to win there, though.
That's fair, but like...
It's true, but they're not going to win with these guys. And Doc Rivers is a stubborn coach as well.
How long is Doc the coach if they can't win, though? If they can't make it, take that next step, how long do they keep Doc as the coach? Is he just the best because he's the best? That doesn't make sense.
No, he wasn't that good until he had Garnett and Pierce.
Well, of course. So like, how long before these guys say, guess what?
Well, he is the president as well, so only Steve Ballmer can really kick him out. But I think you keep Doc Rivers because he's one of the best coaches, vet coaches in the league, obviously. And you got to make a decision. Is it Chris Paul or is it Blake Griffin?
That's right.
Or do you get rid of both? DeAndre is getting old.
No, but DeAndre is signed there long-term, right?
Yeah.
So
still worried about them declining.
That's true, and he really doesn't have a big offensive game.
No.
He just plays defense for you, and obviously he's a horrible free-throw shooter. We all know that.
That might change, though, if a guy like Blake leaves town. Maybe they lean on DeAndre a little bit more offensively.
But what can he really do, though?
Well, like, you look at a guy like Drummond who spends his time in the paint. I mean, maybe DeAndre can develop into a guy like that.
Or Monroe.
Not on that Yeah, well, hey, at least, but...
No, Monroe has some moves. He can put the ball in the bucket.
But Monroe doesn't raise his hands above his head on defense. That's the difference.
Learn how to do some post moves like Dwight, too. That's good.
It's true.
No, but it's a big year for the Clippers, I tell you.
I swish on the Clippers.
All right, well, that's... let's see here. I had one more setup here for you guys.
Clearly.
We can cut up. I had it written down here.
But who would you... Quickly, before we go into that last one, real quick, is it Paul or is it Griffin? Because they're both free agents at the end of the year. Who do you keep?
Swish or miss.
Swish or miss on Paul or Griffin? Dave.
Depends. If I think I can win the following year, you got to keep Chris Paul. Like, if it's about
those
building for the
don't
future.
Don't come.
Well, there's plenty of good point guards out there, but there's only one Chris Paul in the NBA right now.
And that leadership.
Exactly. But Griffin's the younger player, he's got the higher upside at this point of his career. I think that you could win with Paul without Griffin right now, but you couldn't win with Griffin and DeAndre without a point guard. So,
fact.
And
Will.
JJ doesn't move the ball. So
no, he's a shooter.
That's it.
Will, who do you keep?
I keep Blake Griffin. He is a one-in-a-lifetime talent. Paul, I think, is declining a bit. And
you
can get more assets with Paul if you were to trade him.
But they're both free agents,
that's
and Chris
issue,
Paul
yeah.
has never been to a Western Conference Finals.
That's another thing, too.
And they had a 3-1 lead.
Yeah.
Over the Rockets.
That's another thing. Like,
can you close clipped. It done? Everyone's making fun of the Warriors. Well, they blew it in the finals, so I guess it's worse.
Yeah, that's a doozy. But, you know, hey, they learned and, you know, signed Kevin Durant, and I'm sure they're going to come back with a lot of vigor. to fix that.
Kevin Durant said he was happy that they lost Game 7. So clearly he was thinking of joining them before
wow.
that moment.
I hate to hear that stuff. Oh, I'm so glad we blew it so I could join the super team. Yeah. Now I get the cheap way into the get my ring. Ugh. Make me sick.
Oh, but you can say that about LeBron, too.
Yeah, I can, and I will. I wish that it wasn't. I wish that the next 5 years of NBA championships weren't already paved by these two teams.
Well,
it's
that's always
joke.
What happens. Yeah. Do you think
Dave is fired up, bro.
I am. This never gets.
Well, who said that? I think Dwayne Wade said it was good for the league, didn't he not? He said it was refreshing, or what did he say, Dwayne Wade? He said that it was good that.
Yeah, no, yeah, a lot of the players are saying it's good for the league and stuff like that, and I think it is good for the league. You're a guy, they're marketing you, right? The NBT, they don't own you, but they're paying you a lot of money, and they're making money off you by filling out those seats, so you at least get to pick where you want to play. I think as a player, you should have that option.
No, I agree. They should have the option. I don't like the trend and how it's been like this for
You have guys in the NBA that won't join super teams. Damian Lillard has gone out and said, I will not join a super team.
Westbrook,
obviously reconstructing his deal in the Thunder, adding an extra year. He's about loyalty. James Harden.
I think Paul George is a guy that would stay in Indiana, too.
I think so, too. James Harden, another guy.
But they tried the super team route in Houston, too.
Well, I don't know if you consider that a super team. They added another all-star alongside of him. Yeah, that's okay, because every team at least has one or two guys that can be all-stars, right?
Yeah.
But superstars, like you have a Kareem, Kevin Durant, those are two bona fide superstars. Klay Thompson, I don't know if he's a superstar, but he's definitely an all-star and a guy that can clearly go off for 30-plus points in a quarter.
I've never seen a team like this Warriors team.
Exactly. Draymond Green brings it on the defensive side, and he's so versatile.
It's Team USA playing in Golden State. That's what it is. You got four-fifths of what might be the starting lineup. It's insane.
We're going to go into Slam Magazine ranked their players this past week. We did our ranking. It was SI's?
SI's top 100.
So Slam, obviously, very popular basketball magazine.
Yeah. They like Carmelo, eh?
That's what I was going to say. Swish or miss on their decision to go 15th overall in the league on Carmelo. Disrespectful, question mark, swish or miss?
I don't think it's disrespectful. Carmelo didn't agree with it. I thought that was pretty funny. He was pretty vocal about it. Like, Slam Magazine, come on, guys.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
I don't know if he's the 15th best player in the league. He's still an incredible player. He's in a rough situation in New York, but yeah, I don't know about 15.
But they have Blake Griffin ahead of him at 14, Thompson at 13,
Draymond
Kyrie at 12, Chris Paul at 11.
I agree. All those guys should be in front of him.
Draymond Green is right behind him at 16. Carmelo, I mean, they didn't have a good year last year with the Knicks. It depends how you want to rank these guys. What are you looking at?
Are you looking for future? Are you looking last year? Are you looking for career now?
Are you looking, career? What do they bring? You know, it's kind of tough, but Carmelo, we know he's a bona fide scorer. Yeah. That guy can put the ball in the hoop, and people don't give him enough credit, but he's gotten better rebounding.
Yep. He's improved in a lot of ways, for sure. He's changed his game.
So, 15, I mean, I don't know if I totally agree with it 100%, but he's a top 15, maybe top 10 guy in the league right now. I think that's. I like Carmelo, man. He played at Syracuse. I've seen him play live a couple of times.
You're a homer.
I like Carmelo. 15 might be. I mean, it's good. I really want him to have a good season. I would really love to see him win an NBA championship just once.
Not New York.
I mean, they're not going to win one this year, that's for sure. But
you read him. Do you think he regrets not going to Chicago?
I don't think so.
Nah.
Because D-Rose got hurt.
Hey, maybe Carmelo to Chicago. Maybe Chris Paul signs there, and you got three-fourths of their dream team. Away you go.
On the wrong side of 30.
Yeah, they got 13 small forwards on that team.
All right, that's it. Hey, by the way, I want to say next week we should do our preview for this whole league.
Yes.
Well, how do you want to do that, by the way? Should we do like a ranking of like who we think is going to come out with the top of the West and the East? Do you want to do our top eights of each division or each conference, rather?
Top 15.
Ooh. Top 15? Are we going to do EPL style?
We're going to do everything.
Who's going to be the top of the
top 15 of West, top 15 of East, so basically every team.
All right, let's do it. All right, well, cool.
We'll have that for you guys. Remember, you can get a hold of us at the3inthekey@gmail.com, on Facebook at 3inthekey, follow on Twitter at basketball, on Instagram at the3inthekey. And each episode, of course, is on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and Stitcher Radio. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes, 3inthekey.ca, the number 3, andthekey.ca, and also on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network.
Thanks to Eric Green for actually producing this show.
Easy. Yeah, thanks for
executive producer of the year,
Eric Green. And that's another week of us, man. 3inthekey wraps up. For Will Macklin and Dave Tripp, I'm Elias Elzane. Peace.
This is Anthony Bennett of the Brooklyn Nets. Don't watch us play this season.